You're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, just here to let you know that this episode has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Vermont's Ethics Commission was created by an act of the legislature and signed by Governor Scott in June of 2017. It's been operating for just about a year now. It's designed to come up with some general guidelines for ethical conduct for all kinds of government officials, from the governor on down to the municipal level. And it tracks complaints that come in and then directs those complaints to the right department for further investigation. The commission came under fire last fall when it issued an advisory opinion during campaign season about Governor Phil Scott's financial arrangement regarding the sale of his construction company. The commission said his financial ties to the company, which still bids for state contracts, violates Vermont's ethics laws. Some saw that move by the commission as a highly political one, given its timing. The governor said he'd leave it up to voters to decide if they thought it was a problem. Regardless of how people felt about the advisory opinion, the Ethics Commission didn't actually have any power to require change or enforce rules around state ethics codes. And it doesn't have the power to do investigations of complaints that come in. Some people would like to see that changed to give the commission more power. Others say this is an expensive solution in search of a problem. Today on the show, we're going to look at the work the Ethics Commission has been doing and what it might do if it had more authority. Joining us first, briefly, is Brian Levin, former executive director of the commission. He stepped down in December after just about a year on the job. Brian Levin, it's nice to have you with us. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
What would you say are the biggest things the Ethics Commission did in its first year?
Well, the first big project was adopting this code of conduct. You referred to it in your opening remarks about the general principles of governmental conduct that the commission adopted. But from the get-go, the commission received a number of complaints and had to also, in conjunction with the Secretary of State's office, formalize a financial disclosure form that candidates for office and state officers are required to file.
When you worked on that ethical guidelines or sort of a code of ethics for the state, how much were you relying on documents that have already been sort of out there? I mean, this is certainly not the first time the state has thought about ethics, but this is an ethics commission of the kind that many states already had and Vermont didn't. So how much did you feel like you were working from scratch versus putting everything together from different places into one cohesive document and space?
Yeah, well, we certainly didn't have to reinvent the wheel on it. I mean, there are a number of codes of conduct in effect that apply to state employees and, a number of officials already. And I think that ultimately these general principles were based on what you see in the Federal Code of Regulations for general principles of governmental conduct.
What would you say were the biggest frustrations with the parameters of the commission's responsibilities as you saw them?
As far as the code goes?
In general, what the commission was. I mean, I mentioned that the commission can't actually do investigations of complaints that come in. You can't levy fines or punishment. So, there are certain parameters of what the commission is able to do and what it's not able to do. And I'm wondering how that felt to you, where you felt like you were sort of coming up against barriers that you wish weren't there.
Well, I mean, not having the authority to investigate or to look into any allegations of a violation of conduct was, certainly a problem. And, that's, I would hope, would be the next step. The unfortunate thing is somebody can file a complaint that alleges a violation, and because the commission didn't have any authority to investigate, we would just refer it to the appropriate state agency, who's then in the position to determine whether or not to investigate. And we were referring it to agencies that, I mean, even the Attorney General's office or state's attorney's office aren't necessarily investigatory agencies. They're the ones that ultimately decide, whether or not to prosecute. But we were forwarding to them just allegations, and it could set up some, fairly dangerous situation.
So you would like to see the commission then have more of an ability to investigate when claims come in. Would you take that just to be able to investigate whether these claims are valid or not before passing them along? Or do you think that the Ethics Commission should be able to investigate and adjudicate when these claims of ethical violations have come in?
Well, you know, I realize that what the legislature made some decisions, and in creating the Ethics Commission, I mean, this legislation was a bit of a compromise, but it was a good first step to determine what's the scope of the problem out there. You know, what's falling through the cracks. You know, I think in hindsight, I don't recall any complaints that were filed that weren't covered by existing codes that are already on the books or laws that are already on the books. So this was an attempt to get a sense for what else is needed. What are the scope of ethical violations out there that aren't being addressed in these other codes that are out there?
Brian, before we let you go, I want to read two comments that came in about that advisory opinion on Governor Scott's business dealings and a potential ethics violation with the state, because this happened while you were executive director. So maybe you can address this first. Paul Burns is executive director of VPIRG, the Vermont Public Interest Research Group, which filed the ethics complaint against Governor Scott last year. And here's part of what Paul sent to us. The commission should absolutely be able to investigate and have enforcement powers, too. Otherwise, it's a toothless feel-good measure that fails to provide the protections the public deserves. In the commission's most noteworthy move to date, it offered this advisory opinion requested by VPIRG, stating that Governor Phil Scott's ongoing financial stake in his former business, which seeks contracts with the state, violates Vermont's new code of ethics. But the governor essentially said tough luck. Instead of taking steps to mitigate the ethical violation, he said he'd let voters decide whether this is an issue or not. This move by the governor not only underscored the commission's powerlessness, it also served to undermine public trust in government at a time when it is sorely needed. VPIRG is urging legislators to reject plans to weaken the law further and instead strengthen it by giving investigative and enforcement powers to the Ethics Commission. On the other hand, Robert in Morrisville emailed in to say, please justify giving the Ethics Commission more power when they already showed a willingness to politicize and abuse the power they have. Their rebuke of Governor Scott just weeks before the election can only be viewed as political, given that they could not and did not investigate the allegations. Who monitors the ethics of the ethicists? Brian Levin, what do you think about those differing opinions on that advisory opinion that the commission put out?
Well, and I don't necessarily think the two commenters are in disagreement, but
right, really, that's possible too.
But really, talking about two separate things. I mean, the unfortunate part of the advisory opinion was that the commission was only presented with the one set of facts that VPIRG provided, and so because there was no ability to investigate or afford some due process to all the parties involved, the commission chose to issue an advisory opinion on just that set of facts, I'm not sure that I agree totally with everything that was in there. I mean, everything that was in there on the record that was submitted by VPIRG does support the decision, but it wasn't as though the governor hadn't taken any measures to mitigate this appearance of a conflict.
Yeah. So then, what do you, when you think about that, and when you think about the role then that the Ethics Commission plays, how do you move forward if that came up again? What would you want the Ethics Commission to do differently, or be able to do differently?
Yeah. I mean, I think having the ability to look more deeply into the facts and to, in this case, it would have been the opportunity for the governor to present his story, his defense, and then, the commission would be in a position to make a more informed decision, about the merits of that, what was really a complaint.
Brian Levin is the former executive director of the State Ethics Commission. He's also an attorney in Vermont. Brian, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
And joining us now is the new executive director, Larry Novins. Before this job, he worked in the Secretary of State's Office of Professional Regulation, where he drafted rules for professional licensing boards and trained personnel on legal and ethical aspects of public service. Larry, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Why did you want this job as Executive Director of the Ethics Commission?
Well, I see it as sort of a natural extension of what I've done throughout my career. It's an administrative agency. I like that kind of work. I also believe in the mission of the Ethics Commission. I believe that the public has a right to have a government that works and is accountable, that the people within the government are not working for their own personal advantage. And it seems like ethics is the logical place to carry on those beliefs and follow those beliefs. It's interesting that as early as the original Vermont Constitution was adopted back in the 1700s, they talked about accountability and all officers of the government, work for the people. They're the people are their trustees, or they are the servants of the people and accountable to them. And I think what the Ethics Commission represents is a realization by the legislature that ethics is an ongoing interest. It's an ongoing process. And I'm very happy to be a part of it.
Let's go to Robert, who's calling in from Bethel. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Hey, Jane. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Hey, it's a good show. I love talking about ethics. Specifically, I was wondering, I was in a confusing situation in the town of Rochester with the town clerk's office on election day where they were enforcing an unwritten rule, a number of unwritten rules. And we were totally miffed by it because we didn't know that the rules existed. So I'm wondering if I should have made a call to your office or to the Secretary of State's office, which I did. And I'm looking at the goodness of what your commission could do is to at least have a place for people to go to help them sort through where they should go next. Because it was a defilement of democracy right in front of our faces in the little town of Rochester. And in fact, our state representative witnessed all the enforcing of the unwritten rules right in front of her eyes, and the select board basically said it's not our fault. It's the Board of Civil Authority's fault. Well, the Board of Civil Authority is made up of the select board. So there's a very, very disturbing ethical challenge there, and I think it would be great if your commission could investigate what went on Election Day this past year and understand, maybe just not in Rochester, but across the state, what are these Board of Civil Authorities doing?
So that's what Robert's hoping you can investigate. And as we've been talking about, Larry Novins, the Ethics Commission doesn't actually have the power or the authority to investigate. You can take in complaints. So what do you do in a situation like what Robert is talking about?
Well, I think his question, and thank you, Robert, for the question, I think his question highlights really some of the limitations that we face. What we would do with a complaint like that is talk to Robert to find out as best we can exactly what happened, and then make a referral. If it looked like there was a law broken, we'd refer it to the Attorney General's office or the state's attorney for that county. I think, you know, because of the Secretary of State's role in administering elections, they would certainly hear about it because I would refer Robert to talk to them to see what, if anything, they could do. I think this is a great example of a situation where it's unclear where the lines of responsibility lie, and certainly in terms of enforcement, where they lie. And having an investigator would certainly enable us, if we had authority over this particular type of conduct, and as it stands right now, we don't. But it would help us get to the bottom of it. And if it required us to refer the matter to someone else, we would give them a well-researched, hopefully balanced description of what we had learned and seen. And if the people who were to take action on this had that information, would certainly make their job. It would get them and make their job a lot easier and get them off to a good head start.
Do you have the expertise and the staff time currently to do that kind of work? I mean, I'm assuming not, but how much of a ramp up in terms of both resources and financial resources, funding, would it take to be able to do not just that, but all of the other kinds then of complaints and investigations that would come in?
Well, the answer to your first question, the simple answer is no, we don't have the resources. What it would take, I don't know right now. I know the Secretary of State's, and we're meeting with the Deputy Secretary of State this afternoon to talk about election matters and other matters. They invest, I think, significant resources. I don't have the dollar amounts or the personnel amounts. Clearly, if we were to take on responsibilities regarding not the conduct of elections, but misconduct surrounding how elections are held, that would require more personnel. It would require investigative services. These things are not easily done. And if there is a need for this type of work to be done, then there need to be resources to support them. One of the things that the Ethics Commission has done in the past year is to keep track of the complaints that come to our office. And one of the useful byproducts of getting that information is seeing which questions go unanswered, seeing which complaints have no remedies. And as we continue our dialogue with the legislature, we'll keep them up to date on those things so that we can determine, okay, where should resources be expended to answer these questions, to be able to respond to these problems? And if so, where should those resources go? It certainly seems like the Ethics Commission would be the logical first step if it's unethical conduct, if it's a violation of statutes regarding the administration of ethic laws. Well, maybe that goes to the Attorney General if it's a criminal statute. But right now, early in this commission's existence, a lot of what is going on is diagnosing the nature and the extent of the need for enforcement, the need for investigation, and diagnosing the extent of problems as they exist.
But are you able to do that kind of diagnosing if you're not able to actually investigate? I mean, if you're not able to determine before you hand a complaint off whether it's even a valid complaint, how do you get a handle on whether, you know, whether and how much there are ethical violations going on?
We really can't. All we can do is look at it and say, does this complaint on its face implicate a statute or the ethics code or another law of the state of Vermont? And if it's not obvious on its face, we don't see it.
Let's on this go to Eric, who's calling in from Burlington. Hi, Eric. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks for having me. And this kind of fits in well with, I believe, what you were just talking. I read the 2018 Ethics Commission annual report where they say they had 36 complaints that came in, 19 individual issues. Of those 19 issues, 11 were referred to other organizations, agencies. Of those 11, 9 were denied on receival. Do you feel if you had the additional investigative authority that the commission is seeking, that would help kind of get a better conversion rate on these complaints?
What do you think, Larry?
That's sort of a two-pronged question. I it's hard for me to imagine how having a better grasp of the facts would be disadvantageous to anyone. I don't know what resources the people who receive referrals from us put into them. I don't have that information. Clearly, if we send out a referral to another agency, to the AGs or the Department of Human Resources or someone else, and it's complete, well-documented, well-investigated, they're much more likely to be able to take action. And I think it would also affect the nature of the referral, that we, if we've done a thorough investigation and it turns out there's less there than meets the eye, some of those referrals might not have been made. Right now, it's impossible to guess how that would work.
Mark wrote in to say the notion that Vermont is somehow immune from the same kind of corrupt and unethical conduct by its officials and lawmakers that occurs in other states or in Washington is preposterous. If the J-Peak EB-5 debacle is any kind of example, there's no question the Vermont Ethics Commission should have the power to investigate those in power whom the evidence suggests are using their positions in a corrupt and unethical way. If a public service job is what someone wants to have, they should be prepared for a public accounting of their conduct in that job. Not everyone, though, agrees that the commission should have greater power and a larger budget. Windham County Senator Jeanette White is also the chair of the Senate Government Operations Committee, and she joins us on the phone now. Senator White, nice to talk with you.
Thanks, Jane. Nice to be here.
So we're a year into the Ethics Commission's active role in Vermont government and Vermont politics. Do you think it's a good thing, first of all, to have an Ethics Commission? What's our baseline here with you?
I do think it's a good thing for us to have an Ethics Commission, and I don't think anybody has assumed that we're somehow immune from ethics violations by people. But if I can just... when we created it, we created an entity that would be a focal point for two things, for elected officials, public officials, and state employees to go to ask if there was some kind of an ethics violation. And we heard in the report that there were 62 of those, and most of them were guidance on how to fill out the disclosure forms, because that was a new thing. So next year they won't have those same questions, presumably. And as a focal point for citizens to register complaints, so that there was one place to go. The commission was then to act as a funnel, and you've talked about that, to these other agencies, to refer the complaints, not to investigate them, but to refer them. And the concept was that those entities would then report back to the commission about the disposition of the cases. Our thought was that this would provide a check on whether or not complaints were being dealt with. We did not hear that these complaints were ignored or not dealt with. And if there were a lot that were ignored and not dealt with, then maybe we need to look at that. So given the small number of complaints, there were 32, and my understanding was that a great many of those were from municipalities, which would be referred to the Secretary of State's office. There was no indication that they weren't dealt with, and only 1 year of history. Personally, I feel that there's no justification to expand it by hiring an investigator. I do support hiring a part-time administrative assistant, because I think there is a lot of that. But so I'm willing to answer your questions, but I think that we only have had 1 year. We had 32 complaints, and those were, I think that 19 were on a particular topic. I think that was conflict of interest. So I'm not sure that we're justified in greatly expanding it at this point. We may be in the future, but we've only had 1 year and 32 complaints.
Larry Novins, let me just, you earlier said 36 complaints.
Can 36.
You just,
okay, 36.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something. So Larry Novins, what do you think about Senator White? First of all, she's right. This has only been a year. Do we need more time to figure out? But, you know, when you say we need more power, you know, how do you frame that in what you're hearing from Senator White?
Oh, what I'm saying is not that well, there's a question whether we need more power, and that's a larger discussion. You know, you have Paul Byrne's point of view. You have other people's point of view who feel that really to be effective, the Ethics Commission needs more power. In terms of where we are today and what we need today, the Ethics Commission feels strongly that it's not power our immediate concern. It's tools to do the job we have been assigned already. And we do, I think, you know, asking for an investigator and for office support, administrative support, will enable us to do better what we are supposed to be doing now. There is a larger discussion to be held about the future of the Ethics Commission and the near and distant future. Part of that will be informed by the numbers we have. Part of the effect that we've seen or had is dependent on people knowing that we're available and are a resource for people. So in part, I think the numbers that we've seen are a reflection of the fact that this is not a well-known organization, not a well-known commission. And with time, I fully expect that the number of complaints or inquiries to the office will increase. And I guess the question is, do we wait and, you know, act before we get backlogged and behind, or do we stay abreast with them as they come in? My view at this point is it's better to be ready for them.
And Senator White, go right ahead.
So I disagree with Larry that they aren't able to fulfill their current responsibility because they have no responsibility of investigation. That's not in the legislation. It isn't there, and it was never intended to be there. So there is no authority to do investigations in the legislation. That authority belongs to human resources if it's an employee issue, to the Secretary of State, to the Attorney General if it's a campaign or political activity. So we would, if we were to give investigatory powers, we would also have to change the legislation because it isn't there now.
But you said earlier that it would be helpful to know, you know, if complaints were or were not being properly
right.
investigated. And Larry Novins told us earlier, there's not really any way for the Ethics Commission, because it doesn't have any authority to investigate at all, to determine that.
Right. The body that they refer to is supposed to respond back to the Ethics Commission. Yes, we looked at this complaint and we felt that it was completely unwarranted, or we investigated it and we reprimanded the person or whatever we did. So there is the Ethics Commission does not do the investigation. It's the referring body that does the investigation and then reports back.
Right, but how would you then know whether the body that is doing the investigating is doing its due diligence?
Well, I guess we have to assume some credibility that if a campaign finance complaint is lodged with the Attorney General's office, that they are going to say this was a complaint that didn't merit investigation, or we took this on and we dealt with it. I guess if we want the Ethics Commission to investigate every complaint, then that's a whole different Ethics Commission that we've set up.
Mm.
We didn't set.
And you don't think that should be set up that way, at least
at
this point?
Yeah. Not at this point. And we may find in 2 years that we need that. But I don't think with a year of experience under our belts that we're in the position to justify hiring an investigator. I do think that we should hire that administrative assistant, because I think there is paperwork, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, there's scheduling meetings, all of that that needs to be done. And so I do support that, but I don't, you know, and there are, I know that one of the things that took a lot of time with the Ethics Commission last year was this issue of whether there was a conflict of interest with the governor. And I think our legislation was clear. Clearly, it wasn't clear enough, that said that advisory opinions, the request for an advisory opinion was to come from those who were covered by the legislation. It wasn't to come from outside groups to ask for an advice and an opinion. So the intent of that of the advisory opinion was that if you had 7 elected officials who said, can I use my legislative email account for my campaign, that would be something that the Ethics Commission would give an advisory opinion on, because there were a number of people. So they not only would tell the individual people, no, you shouldn't do that, but then they could do an advisory opinion to all candidates or all legislators. And that was the intent of the advisory, not to have other people call and say, give us an advisory opinion on this issue.
Hmm. Yeah, and certainly that question of the politicization of that advisory opinion is one that a lot of people have opinions on. Jeanette White is a senator from Windham County and chair of the Senate Government Operations Committee. I'm sure we'll have more to look at this if a new bill proposing the expansion of the Ethics Commission
right.
is advanced in the legislature. Senator White, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Thanks. Okay, thanks, Jane.
We are talking about the Ethics Commission and how it works and how it might work if its role was expanded. Let's get a couple calls in here, and then we can come back to Larry Novins, Executive Director. Ken is calling in from Newfane. Hi, Ken. What's your perspective?
Hi, Jane. Yeah, I have to really disagree with my own state senator on this matter, calling here from Newfane. I just think that she's totally, totally missing the boat. I mean, when you have a governor that, you know, has the arrogance and the haughtiness of our own president with respect to a business that has some sort of relationship to, you know, state contracting, and then he says, leave it up to the voters. I mean, this is the beginning of a cesspool that's gathering. Why not do what we need to do in advance of the problems rather than letting problems and ethical violations accrue and then find ourselves in a huge mess? I mean, the governor is setting the pace. The governor is setting a huge, horrible example, and my own state senator can't see that. I find this extremely disappointing. I have to give a shout-out to VPIRG on this one.
Well, Ken, thanks for your perspective, and again, for people coming to this topic late last year, during the campaign season, the Ethics Commission issued an advisory opinion that said that Governor Scott was, in its opinion, in violation of the state ethics code, and this was relating to a way that Governor Scott had sold his business, but it was through financing the sale of that business, and I won't go into the details right here because we're short on time, but it was basically through how he was financing the sale of that was at question. And there was a lot of debate about whether that opinion being issued late in the campaign season was itself a political statement. And so Ken referring to that. But let's talk to Seth in South Burlington. Hi, Seth. Go right ahead.
Hi. I believe in evidence-based policymaking, and I have an open mind on this, but if as the previous caller said, the figures of the first year in operation are that there were some 36 complaints and only two of them upon investigation resulted in action, I'm kind of wondering, where's the problem? Is maybe an ethics commission in this state a solution in search of a problem? And I understand that there is an issue surrounding Governor Scott's business dealings, but it seems to me a very, very far step to leap from that into the suggestion that we're standing in the middle of a gathering cesspool.
Yeah, Seth, let me take it from there and add on to your thought. Brain on VPR.net, who wrote, is this a government agency looking for a problem? This is an obvious example of bureaucrats looking to perpetuate their existence and expand beyond what the people's representatives intended. So, Larry Novins, we've got a couple minutes left. You know, lots of different opinions here from all kinds of people about what is or isn't needed. And you're right in the middle of it as the chair of the Ethics Commission. I think most people wouldn't say that we're in the middle of a cesspool, but, you know, others might say, actually, there may be ethical violations that are going unnoticed or unheeded. So, you know, what do you say to the people of Vermont who now will have to be thinking about where they stand on the issue of giving more money and more resources to the Ethics Commission?
Where I stand is I think the discussion today has been wonderful. And what it shows is there really needs to be a good discussion about the entire thing and a good discussion about what goes on in states where there are ethics commissions, how they work in other states, and what we can do to make sure that people in government are held accountable if they don't meet accepted standards and norms. So I think the good thing of all this controversy is that we will have a, you know, full discussion of the needs. There are very, very good arguments on all sides, I think, of this. And I welcome the conversation and I welcome the needs. I welcome the idea that we should look at ourselves, that we should look at the problems that exist in the state of Vermont, and that we should look at what we can do to ensure that the people of Vermont have confidence in their elected and appointed and represent and state officers And so that's, I guess, to sum up, I welcome the discussion and I embrace it. And I'm looking forward to hearing all the arguments on both sides. At the end of the day, the legislature will make that determination of where we go. And the more they hear from more sources, the better informed their ultimate decision will be.
Well, we look forward to that conversation, too, and appreciate you being part of today's. Larry Novins is Executive Director of the Vermont Ethics Commission. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, Jane.